You are listening to the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast. It's time now for our feature interview, and joining us once again from India is Jaspreet Sahni. Jaspreet, welcome.
Hi guys, how are you?
Oh, fine here. How are you coping in the after the last couple of days? Street parties and such?
No, it's not cricket, it's just hockey, because in India you don't have street parties even if you won a Hockey World Cup. I hope it happens soon, but yeah, good, but maybe a bigger party on December 10th.
Yeah, well, that's the ultimate aim, isn't it?
Yeah, because in Asia we are fine already. We have created a gap between the second place team and ourselves, which is now surprisingly being fought between Pakistan and Malaysia. But yeah, in Asia we are fine. So I hope it transfers on to the Hockey World League finals in a month's time.
So just in general, Jazz, what were your feelings about the tournament overall, and just sort of taking aside your Indian allegiances for a moment?
Yeah, as a neutral, if I see the tournament, I think India did fine, and barring the penalty corner conversions, which I think still weren't up to the mark and actually way off, because I think personally, Harmanpreet was feeling the pressure, because he had two fairly inexperienced drag flickers with him in Varun and Dipson. So he took it upon himself and probably got pressurized in match situations. So he couldn't convert as much as he would have liked. Although he finished as the joint top scorer, fair enough. But yeah, he missed quite a few penalty corners. Otherwise, India's finishing, I like the give-and-go hockey that came back to Indian camp. I think Shoot Marania should be given the credit for that. He wants the boys to release the ball as soon as possible, which wasn't happening until the Hockey World League semi-finals in London, where they were carrying the ball maybe a couple of seconds too longer, and it ruined the whole move. That was the welcome change that I witnessed here, the give and go hockey which India is famous for, and not exactly the Spanish tiki-taka, but yeah, give and go is fine for India as long as it works. And I would like to have a very special mention for the two goalkeepers, Akash Chikte and Suraj Karkera. I think they stood up and they punched way above their weight and played really well. They were, for me, they were the standout performers for India. And Shoot Marania, I want to give him the credit. To be very honest, I didn't think that India will finish the campaign unbeaten. But it's credit to his planning and the way the boys executed it, barring the penalty corners and some of the finishing up front by strikers. I think we did well.
So the report card for Sjurd's, it's A+ so far?
I would say A, not A+.
Looking at the other nations, Jazz, did anybody strike you as having really improved? Do you think that there's more to come from some of those teams?
I think Malaysia have done really well, and to stake a claim for a number two side in Asia, which Pakistan will strongly want to object. But considering the state that they are in right now, I think Malaysia are strong number second. Korea, I think they are focusing more on their defense than attacking, because their strong point is counter-attacks, fast legs they have, which I think they have forgotten for a while. They are not doing that. Pakistan, I think Pakistan are too much focused on beating India. They are not focused on winning matches. They are focused on beating India. So that's where I think they are losing out. They have brought some experienced players back, but all their focus, I think, during the tournament was beat India and bring some cheer back home, which I'm afraid is not going to happen, and going to take their hockey much backwards. So on the improvement count, I think Malaysia is one side that you can look up to, and the Japanese guys, they beat Australia in Ipoh. They almost beat India in Ipoh as well, Sultan Azlan Shah Cup. So they could be the team to watch out for in Asia. Not at the world stage, because that's a fair distance away from them. So yeah, Malaysia and Japan are the two most improved sides for me.
I agree with you. With Korea, they certainly... I thought they had one of the best defences in the tournament, but they just couldn't score any goals.
Yeah. They are more focused on defending than moving ahead, turnovers, counters. They're not focusing on that. And that has been their strong point and what got them, I think, 4 Asia Cups, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they have forgotten that. So there needs to be some shake-up in the Korean camp just to remind them where they stood once, maybe 5 years back, and where they are now.
Yeah, and I found it interesting as well. I think Malaysia could have done a bit more in the tournament if they'd have stuck a few more goals away, because they created the opportunities. I found one of the ploys against India in the final is that they'd sort of take it up just past the 25, closer to the halfway line, and then look to throw that aerial every time and try and sort of get in behind and cause some trouble with those aerial balls.
I think they were playing exactly the way they beat India during the Sultan Azlan Shah Cup, where India needed to win by a 2-goal margin to reach the final. I think they were using the same strategy, but somehow India got one more goal than them, and which proved enough in the end. But yeah, Malaysia could have scored more goals. I think that's where their coach will be and their players will be disappointed that they couldn't score as many goals as they could have, which could have made the difference in the end.
So moving forward to Hockey World League finals coming up in December, can you see any major changes to the squad for India than the one that we've just seen at Asia Cup?
Yeah, there will be a few changes. I think P.R. Srijesh is not going to come back because that is clear. He will be available only by the Commonwealth Games, which is still 6 months away. Rupinder Pal Singh is one person who India will definitely want to bring back, considering their penalty corner conversion hasn't been that great, and they want somebody, at least two on the field or on the bench, who they can rely on. Because Dipson and Rohidas, or Dipson and Varun might be good, but they still are a fair bit away from the standards that the draft flickers set for themselves. And I would also like to point out that I think there will be a bit of scrutiny of Jugraj Singh's role, because he is the person who is taking care of the penalty corners, and if this conversion rate doesn't go up, then his place might be in question also.
The big question also is, well, Sadara, will he continue on?
I think, contrary to some of my friends who felt that he was okay, I think in deep defense as the central midfielder, he was doing better than the central defender. He was doing better than the central midfielder that he has played over the last few years. During his most of his career. So I felt the 4-3-3 formation was working for India, and Shurt was very shrewd enough to when to start with Sardar and when not to, depending upon the opposition that he was playing. So I think Mourinho has found a way to how to use Sardar sparingly and make him effective. So I think he and Sunil will retain their place in the squad.
Yeah, and I think that's understandable as a player that's sort of, you know, coming to the twilight of their career. He's not an old man, but he's certainly one of the older ones in the group there, that you, if you can still utilise them and maybe play them in a slightly more defensive position, then that's good for the team and good for the player.
And you need to have some of the, I would call them stabilisers in the team, because put all youngsters in a team, then I don't think that's going to work, because they need somebody they could look up to or ask for whatever creases they want to straighten in their play. So I think Sardar and Sunil have a role to play there. And I would also like to make a mention of another youngster who impressed, who just skipped my mind during the last question, Gurjant. I think I would call him the poacher of the team, because he's one player, if he's anywhere near the ball inside the striking circle, he will either have a shot at goal or he will create a penalty corner. So he's one person who you can rely on that something's going to happen if he has the ball with him inside the circle.
So just on that balance you talked about there, we've just seen an announcement today here in Australia that Matty Buttarini and Kieran Gubbers have both been named in the development squad here, and we've certainly had a big crop of youngsters that have been blooded over the past couple of tournaments, and perhaps they're now looking and going, oh, maybe we need some older heads in there, and the likes of Buttarini and Gubbers, you know, could be the men right. to do it. So, it's, you know, it's the same the world over, eh?
Yeah, I think that you can't just ignore seniors. Yeah, you can certainly remind them every now and then by dropping them, but I'm sure Hockey India also have had a word with Sardar and Sunil that you can't play on reputation. Yeah, we understand that you have older legs, you are slowing down, but still the team has to win and you have to play a part in it. So I think they have been issued instructions and they are pulling their socks up.
Jazz, just going back to the Asia Cup in Dakar, there were other issues going on apart from hockey. Separate the hockey players and the hockey coaches, but the way the tournament was run, the format of the tournament, what did you make of it? And also, what did you make of the scenes on the penultimate day when the rainstorm hit and the fixturing was just thrown up in the air?
I think first of all, the format of the tournament, that is two pool stages or a pool stage and then a super fours, I think it was designed in a way that the tournament can have as many India-Pakistan matches as possible. Because from India's pool, it was almost certain that India and Pakistan will go through, which happened. And if that happened, then the organizers knew that in Super 4 stage, where each team has to play each other, Pakistan and India will meet again. So two matches were sorted. And if Pakistan would have played the Pakistan we know, then it might have been India-Pakistan final as well. But that didn't happen. But still, the tournament got two India-Pakistan games. And I think the Super 4 was designed only to meet this requirement. And the scheduling of the matches during the penultimate day when there was a rain, thunderstorm and rain and all that, water logging. I don't see any problem with it as long as the teams and their managers are don't have a problem, because this is a rigorous sport and players are fit enough to play two matches, say in a gap of say or within 24 hours. So I don't, and that's something that also not in control of the organizers, because this rain and thunderstorm, you can't fight that. That's weather and that happens from upstairs. But yeah.
What you mean the FIH are controlling the weather now?
No, upstairs means upstairs. So I think it all boils down to whether the two teams involved and their management agrees to whatever has been decided, because nothing can be done without that. And then there is the broadcasters who are almost ruling the roost these days. They are ruling sport all around. Wherever the schedules or the fixtures need to be changed, it has to. It is 50% of the times it is changed due to broadcasters' needs, because they want prime time for prime teams and all that stuff. So that's the situation across sports. So I think it's a mixture of that, and I don't think any team will have a problem.
I did feel a little bit sorry for the Koreans and the Malaysians that were sort of standing pitch side looking on, and I thought, geez, they've been standing around a while, and now they don't get the next game. They've got to wait for the India game to be played first.
We saw Usain Bolt complaining that he was made to wait in the waiting area a bit too longer than it is during his last race when he cramped again. So I think it's across the sport.
Yeah, I mean, he's that bloke who used to be quite fast at running, isn't he?
Yeah, he used to be until he had that cramp. Look, Jazz, I had a problem with swapping the matches. I don't think no one can predict weather, even when it is in a monsoonal country like Bangladesh. But the idea of swapping the two games, I thought that goes to the heart of the integrity of the competition. I mean, those Korean and Malaysian players were there warming up for a game at 3 o'clock, and because a television station decides that it doesn't suit their ratings, they make them wait. They didn't get on the pitch until 9:30 that night.
I agree. I totally agree. And I feel for them because you can't expect your team to perform as they would because they have been waiting in the wings for 6 hours. So that's unfair. I totally agree. But hockey, as you know, it needs money. It needs broadcasters. It needs eyeballs. It needs everything. And I think FIH will go any distance or do anything to make sure that the game is sufficiently funded and the game is watched by as many fans as possible on the ground and on TV. And to do that, I think anything can be done. And this rescheduling or swapping of matches was part of it.
Yeah, I have a... See, I tried to watch the Asia Cup, Jazz, and I can't because the broadcaster won't allow me to watch. They've paid the FIH money to not let me watch sport. It's a crazy situation, you know? I don't understand it. It's just doing my head in. But anyway, we should move on. The Women's Asia Cup is getting underway next week. India's going to be there. How do you see their chances?
See, it's Harender's first assignment as a women's coach, and India should sneak through into the World Cup depending on what happens in the Africa Cup. I think India will get a backdoor entry, so they may not need to win the Asia Cup. They might still go through to the World Cup, but that apart, I think the team needs to perform a lot better than what it has in the past. Stuart Mariner did what he could. He also swapped 6-7 players on the Europe tour where they played the Belgian club and another team, I can't recall that. So he did his bit, but when he seemed settled, he was asked to switch to the other camp, that is the men's team. So that was the Hockey India decision, so we can't fight that. But yeah, Harinder is really positive and looking forward to this opportunity because he has come back at the national level after guiding juniors to the World Cup. I think his ultimate aim would be to get a medal position maybe in the Commonwealth Games. In Asia Cup, getting past the Chinese and will be a tough ask because they are one of the top ranked sides in the world. So I think his realistic aim here will be to finish maybe in top 5, which should be his aim as the first tournament as coach of the Indian women's team. And if they finish in top 5, I think the Indian girls will feel much more confident about the coming tournaments, that is the Commonwealth Games especially.
It's a tough ask there, China, Japan, Korea, you know, three very, very good teams there. And it's like you say, it would be a tough one to break into that top 4 there.
Top 5 will be an achievement. I will consider it as an achievement.
Well, hopefully that we get some coverage of the women's tournament there. Is it slated?
I don't know.
Is it available?
I don't know.
Available on the Hotstar?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so, but I have to check. Might be, but I'm not sure yet.
I haven't seen any sort of pre-promotion that it's going to be viewed, which is a shame. Yeah. It's why would it have any less significant than the men's tournament? But there you go.
That's been the scene in India. Hockey is synonymous with the men's team. Unless the women's team wins something, there won't be any shouts.
Yeah, but it's not just in India, is it? I guess it would be the same, you know, Korea and Japan, where you'd say hockey, the women's side is much more prevalent in those countries than, you know, potentially the men's side.
Yeah, exactly.
Jazz, what does Indian hockey do waiting for the World League? Are they in lockdown, are they, these fellas, or in camps, or they just go home and hang around until a week beforehand?
I think I had a word with a couple of players when they returned. They are back home as of now, having a little break. But I think they will reassemble very soon in Bangalore for a camp before the Hockey World League finals. Right now, they are all at home.
Would they be recognized in the street, these players, or would they just be going about their everyday life?
So you might consider Sardara old, but he's still the poster boy of Indian hockey team.
How old is he exactly, Jazz?
He says 30.
30 years old, but 20 years at the top.
Yeah. That's what he says.
So, Jazz, hopefully we'll be able to catch up once the Hockey World League's finals are underway there in Bhubaneswar.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And I will catch you from Bhubaneswar as well. I'm going there for the tournament.
Oh, that'd be excellent. We'll definitely try and catch up with you while you're there, Jazz.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Anytime.
Well, fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jaspreet Sahni, direct from Delhi. Fingers crossed for the girls in the Asian Cup.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope the girls do well, and then we do well at the world stage as well, where we're fighting the heavyweights, Australia, Netherlands, Germany and all that.
We look forward to it, Jazz. Just one thing before we let you go. Are you having renovations done at home, are you, Jazz?
Actually, I'm at work right now, and the adjoining building, they are doing some renovation work. That's why you hear that hammer.
Yeah, no, we noticed it.
Well, just congratulate them. They've got a lovely rhythm.
There you go again. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jazz.
We'll speak soon. Cheers, Jazz. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.